Thank you, Mr. Chairman. So, Mr. Edmonds will take you through what he distributed before the agenda.
Effectively, it might be a good idea if I just run through and give you a highlighted version of, or take you through where the changes have occurred, and as questions arise, we can deal with this just on the other thing. And I'll try also, I think, I'll be responding to all of those points in paragraph 11 of Ms. Evans identified her brief versions yesterday.
And can you take us through it? Would it suit you if we ask any questions that we still have residual
yes.
as we go through it rather than waiting for the end?
Yes, yes. Yes. So, on the first page, it's setting out the various activity areas that are in the zone, and we have introduced by agreement the landscape protection and other activity area. The purpose of that is really to maintain the mature tree line edge to Melbourne Road.
Yes.
There has been, on the way through, there's been some, we've tried to be a little more efficient with some of the work, and so we've, in the places we've just simply tightened up descriptions or sentences, and that will come through in the track change, and it might be easier to see those in the track change than
yes.
talk about them now.
Yep.
Turning the page to the objectives and policies, and we may talk about this later on, but there was a policy about air emissions. I think it was air emissions.
Yes. And I was going to ask you about that, but it's disappeared. Yeah.
So that was 43215. You'll see on this version we've replaced it with a different, entirely different policy. And that is talking about an integrated landscape management plan for the south Dalgleish part of the zone. And that was really introduced by agreement with witnesses because bringing in this new chunk of land into the middle of the zone, a lot of it's about identifying those areas of value, and landscape protection will be logical by period. And so it seems to make a lot of sense to actually have a policy that then allows those rules that we talk about later on to have effect. Heading over the page into rules now. We'll see that the formatting has changed, so we're now introducing Roman numerals into rules to allow referencing of rules as people are using them. The first difference occurs on the rule that's titled the Healthy Landscape Works. The landscape works 43.4.5. And what I've done here is changing the around slightly so the discretion, rather than listing the various works to be undertaken, there's discretion. I'll simply change it to discretion is restricted to an integrated landscape management plan that links back to the policy we just talked about. And then identify those various matters of works that are going to be undertaken. And added on at the bottom, Roman 8, the requirement for landscape designs and planning plans for landscape protection. The wording of that, I should probably put in bracket, that ensures a predominantly screen effect because the landscape witnesses have both agreed that a filtered effect is probably more of an outcome that's appropriate.
Yes, so maybe a wording change there.
So that's working, still working through.
Just on that, it occurred to me in your original version that what is now little Roman 6 seems logically to form part of little Roman 1. Or am I misconstruing those two? to?
I guess currently Roman 1 would be a subset of 6.
That's what I was wondering.
Yes. So it would almost be the landscape plans would almost be elevated as the primary point. And then the others are all subsequent areas, specific areas that are going to be addressed by particular plans.
It might just need some rearrangement to make that clearer. Then the other comment I had is a little moment 3. I wondered if you say the removal of all minus, I wonder if it's ensuring the removal of what's given us a discretion.
And then you can see also in 4 and 5 we're going to reference the particular lots on the adjoining X-ray land,
yes,
rather than just talk about land to the south. So it's a bit clearer. Over the page, the only difference you'll see there is in the second rule, which relates to 4347. We've added in R18 into that area as well. Now, R18 is the cottage of the farm building, and that any change to that building will need a consent under the heritage chapter of the plan. So previously being left aside. By discussion, we realised that if any other building was proposed in that R18 area, such as the garage, a sleep out or something else, it was outside of the curtilage area of the heritage setting, that may not be picked up. So what we've done is, that's the reason we've added R18 back in, so that just captures that as well. Helicopter landing takeoff, one slight adjustment, we've deleted C because it actually appears as a different rule later on under the non-compliant zone standards. So rather than double up, we've put it back to the zone center. The rest of those standards, page, same, very similar. And a lot of these rules are actually pretty much coming out of the operative district plan in a lot of cases, so there's not a lot of changing needed. You would see that under my rule book 2 version, bottom of that page, there was 43.416, which was buildings.
Well, that's the R18.
Yes.
That's your rules.
Or
alternatively, to refer to the plan which is included in the district plan, and the plan itself has that geo-reference on it.
I expect the structure plan would be that plan as well.
Yes, that I understood that, but it would the plan have that reference on it itself?
Yes. Yes.
The other question I should ask at this stage, and we wish the Nixon and I were discussing this in respect to Jack's point. I take it that your understanding is the structure plan is more than just the diagram, and it includes all these rules. Is that? Yes. In reality what it is, and yes. That maybe the diagram should have a reference to make it clear that all of these rules in the chapter are part of the structure plan, or, yes. Or this could say that.
Right, well the rules could almost be meaningless without the structure plan.
I know that, but I've also had people comment that the structure plan is a single page with the diagram. And as long as they comply with that, they're meeting the requirement that they comply with the structure plan. Whereas they may not comply with the detail of the rules.
So, where the structure plan appears in the plan, it needs to include a cross-reference to the rules.
And to make it explicit. That the structure plan is the sum total of everything.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's a good suggestion.
The next matter was simply the following rule relating to setbacks. It has a restricted discretionary status, so I've added in some matters of discretion.
That's what it
is. Over the page on my version, on my latest version you have received, is a rule that talks about building colours and materials in those particular activity areas. Now that was previously identified as a zone standard.
Yes.
Or as a non-compliant standard. Discussion yesterday with the experts was that it would be more appropriate to sit as a restricted discretionary activity. So I've moved it across, I've added some matters of discretion. I think that discussion on the matters of discretion is yet to be complete.
So 43.53 is pretty central to your agreement with X-Ray, isn't it? They want to see this here.
Yes, that's X-Ray have obviously been involved, Mr. Taylor's been involved all the way through the discussions.
So do.
And we'll continue to be. The setbacks, density rules, and height remain the same. There is at 43.58 on the circulated version, height limits on four of those activity areas that are particular, and in particular R14 is at 6.5, and there has been a bit of discussion, you may have heard some of the comments on this, about whether R14 should have a 5.5 metre building height limit or a 6.5. And I think that was also part of Ms. Evans.
That's right, yeah. It's 7A.
Yeah. I've had it confirmed to me by Mr. O'Malley that the 6.5 is the correct version because the ground level for that area will be lower. And he may be able to help confirm that, but that's certainly the advice I've received. So
the position there is that R14 is now moved and being relocated in the middle of the site adjacent to R15 and at pretty much the same ground level as R15. The result of that's been for the purpose of mitigating effects on the X-ray truss and bonds. The result of that is that with the recontouring, it can take a 6.5 metre building, whereas in its previous location it couldn't. And the virtual views that have been prepared and attached to Mr. Craig's evidence are on the basis of 6.5 building on R14. And you can't see it from the virtual view locations from X-ray Trust. And so it seems sensible to enable development up to that level in this relocated area. But be assured that the virtual view
takes into account the relocation of R14 and dwellings at up to 6.5 plus a 2 metre chimney. The only thing you can see in the virtual view is one chimney.
Can I just clarify that the R14 and A, is that the same as the 14 and the 2?
No. So the
R14 is the residential activity area, and 14 is the site number of one of the sites that may not even be in R14.
I was just wanting that clarification. Then the heading of For the Mould is an error thing because it only refers to 14, 15, 16, 17, but in fact the rest of the rule contains matters about the other sites which are probably extant.
And I had conference that myself, and in fact I've written an margin here, another column, possibly in that table, with the residential activity area.
Or is it just that it should be a separate rule for the other ones to distinguish it, so that we don't, that confusion doesn't happen in the future?
It could be.
I can see someone looking at that and thinking, well, that's our 14 at 6.5, and then 14, so it can't exceed 7.6.
I can confirm that the regional plan here requires that any lot less than 2 hectares in the issue, which this area covers, has to have, but basically the standard doesn't allow an open fire in any of the on the site less than 2 hectares. So it would pretty much be an open fire period.
And not within the territorial authority's jurisdiction anyway.
So the fact that it's no one saw it doesn't matter in that case because the rule is essentially invalid, isn't it?
That's right.
Yeah.
The one with the fire hydrants, topical subject at the moment, is that covered by a general rule in the plan? I would have thought it would be, but perhaps it's not.
There it is. The council has adopted the engineering standard in Series 404 2010 with amendments. That applies whenever either development or subdivision occurs, and that standard refers to the same firefighting requirement with the New Zealand Fire Service. So if anything occurs, whether it's construction of a house or a subdivision, the council standards will be invoked.
So it's covered in that,
that's covered. It's covered. And
nonetheless, it's covered. I've had the fire service appear in front of me in almost every other zone hearing that we've had, saying that the zone rule should contain a standard similar or more improved on the one that is in the Norfolk resort zone. And they did not submit on this zone, presumably having seen that rule. I'd be loath to remove it unless you can show clear scope.
It's given that there is no scope, it's and given that other standards already apply, so it's probably harmless.
That's what I was thinking. But I wouldn't like to have the fire service come back and say, well, it was treating Norbrook differently from how we suggested you treat, you know, the rural residential zone which adjoins it.
And it doesn't quite suffer the same fatal flaw as the air emission flaw.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Do you have any further questions?
No.
I didn't have any further questions.
Thank you, Mr. Edmonds. Well, that's the evidence, commissioners. That's on the basis that the planners will continue to dialogue with a view to, as Edmonds has been able to produce a green version of the three of them signed on by the time she reports back next week. So it leaves just one matter, which is the your site visit on the 27th, I think you said.
Yes.
There is a potential health and safety issue on part of the access track, and so Mr. O'Malley suggested that Milton will provide you with a four-wheel drive vehicle and a driver.
Yes, well, we've provided. As I understand it, we have a plan of the consents team that Mr. Evans will know, who will be essentially our guide, so that it can be coordinated with him. And we would probably do Jack's point first, starting around 11,
yes.
So it'll be late in the afternoon by the time we got to Melbourne, I suspect.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Sounds fine. Gumboots are a good idea.
Yes, I understand that too. Especially with the weather we're having.
Yes.
Well,
thank you very much. Unless you acquire anything else from us, that's the case for this part of the
Thank you.